Just God. Thank you, Father, that we can draw near to you, Lord, this evening. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that as we come and draw near, that we can have a confidence, Lord, in your faithfulness, a confidence, Lord, that well, the new and living way that you've made for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our mediator and our high priest, Lord, that you've made a way for us to draw near to you and to have a relationship with you. Not only that, Lord, you've sent us your word. And you've given us your word that is alive and that is powerful. And this afternoon, this evening, Lord, we submit ourselves to your will. We open our hearts, God. We thank you, Lord, for more than just information, Lord. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that you open the eyes of our understanding. And I pray in each of our hearts, Lord, that you administer truth and revelation and life in each of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your name be glorified in and through us tonight. And that there may be good fruit that will bring glory to your name in this word, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We on Tuesday, Pastor Fred shared with some of our leaders and some other guys from other of the members that were able to join. And that one I'm also going to try and make available online if you missed that. But we're going to make work of what he's been sharing with us, and I'm going to get back to that a bit. And I'll touch on it maybe very briefly this evening. But other than that, I want to look at a few principles around the concept of sowing. And some of you might know, I've been trying to fix our lawn, grass at home. It is terrible. It's just got lots of weeds in it and it's just not blessed. At one stage, it's just like more weeds than grass. And it's just frustrating. So yeah, so I went all out and killed a lot of stuff, put some weed killer, this all-in-one combo stuff on there, and it worked to a certain extent. And then not so long ago, I had to actually, you know, where the weeds were now, they were like dead patches, okay, so now I had to sow again. And I must be honest, I didn't really expect a lot. I don't know why. Normally quite an optimistic person. But anyway, it didn't turn out too badly. It's still getting there. I have to water it a lot. But it's something, I don't know if you at school had the thing where you put like a bean in is it cotton wool with water. Did you do that at school? It's cool, eh? And that's one of the things I'm really keen to do with my children as well, just to see, have them see that something grows, you know, that there's something that looks like something you want to eat, and then in the right conditions, with the right water, etc., it grows to a place where you can actually plant it in soil, and then it can actually bear its own fruit. Amazing. So this evening, I want to start us off with a very well-known parable that Jesus spoke about the sower, and I want to look at it a little bit of a different angle. But let's read that together this evening from Luke chapter 8 from verse 4. Okay, one more. Okay, let's read from verse 4. And a great multitude had gathered, They had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." And then we look at from verse 11 onwards, and explains it a bit. And he says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, often, this is a well-known one, and it speaks specifically of the seed as the word of God. If you can take the gain down, just a very small bit, I'm just getting a lot of feedback here. Or should I put it off from this? Should I put this off? Let me just switch it off. It's just making a buzz here. So in Scripture, most the main things we hear around sowing are when we speak about the Word, sowing the Word of God, like in this specific example. And the other part that we often hear about in terms of sowing is when we hear about giving and sowing in terms of resources and finance and, you know, other resources as well. Now, before we continue, I just want to quickly touch on the whole thing of sowing and reaping. And sowing in the principle, the law, if you want to call it that, of sowing and reaping is a spiritual law in the same way that we have a natural law of gravity, right? So gravity, and we all know it, right? Whether we enjoy it or not, gravity affects our lives. And whether we believe in it or not, thank you, Jason, whether we believe it or not, whether you choose to say, I don't believe in gravity, it's not the truth, whether it's still going to apply to you, okay? And you hit like 35 and you're approaching 40, the gravity takes control of all kinds of parts of your life that you didn't really expect before. At this stage, Erna, for instance, most of you know Erna, she's a small person. And normally, gravity doesn't have a massive effect on her, but at the moment, gravity is not her friend. Okay, she's carrying a large baby. The first scan, he was all down the middle in terms of growth, you know, all in terms of the scale, he was more nicely in the middle. Only the legs were a bit long. Just don't know where that comes from. But the second scan, everything was off the chart. Huh? Yeah, shame. So it's a big one. So pray on Thursday. Okay. So gravity sucks, right? Gravity pulls, and we all have to submit to gravity, whether we believe in it or not. And the same applies to the law, the principle of sowing and reaping. I heard this very powerful testimony of a man who was not a believer. So this applies to non-believers or unbelievers. It's like rain; it falls on everybody. And this guy had a business, and I can't remember what his business was, but he figured out that whenever he gave money, whenever he blessed, there was a little church near his business. There was a small little congregation there. He didn't belong to the church; he wasn't a believer, but somehow he made this connection. I don't know how it happened the first time. But he made a connection that whenever he financially blesses this church, his business booms. So he understood this thing. He got to grips with this principle. And he was sowing there. And he reaped the rewards. And now the challenge with this is, from time to time we should ask ourselves, you know, what are we sowing? Not only in terms of finance, I'm actually not focusing on that tonight. In so many other areas, what are you putting in the ground? What are you sowing? What are you saying? What are you proclaiming? What are you doing that is going to bear good fruit in seasons to come? And for instance, there's this funny, I don't know if I mentioned it, but you know, social media, a lot of nonsense on there, but now and again there's something, it's a blessing. Yeah? So the other day I saw somebody make where they got the quote from, but basically what they said is the secret of our future it lies in our daily routine. And I think about it a bit. I thought, oh, he's got something there. And if you think about it, say for a moment, imagine say 5 years down the line. Okay, let's not bring it too close. Say five or 10 years from now, where do you want to be in terms of family life, in terms of work maybe, in terms of your relationship with God in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? You know, I'm an optimist. Apparently, people that have kind of more inclined towards being evangelists are often optimists. I always find myself when I go to the airport, or like I did this week again with Pastor Fred, even though it says it's full, or even when you can see it's busy, I always go right. I look for parking right there at the entrance, and every time I check. You know, you never know. It's just, there might be a space, and I must say it's working well for me. but you know, if you're really being really optimistic and you're aspiring to a few things, you're thinking in 10 years' time, this is what I want my life to look like. This is what I want my relationship with God to look like. This is what I want my faith walk to look like. You know, do we still aspire to stuff? You know, I want to be the perfect dad. I want my children to, you know, the life of our family. I want it to start like this, and I want this to happen. I want my children to be like this, and I want. Okay, so we aspire to stuff like that. Do we? Do we still do that? And you know, some of us thinking, you know, it's one of these days I'm going to be fit again. I'm going to, you know, when I hit 50 or 60, when I have grandchildren. I made a quick calculation this morning. I won't have grandchildren when I'm 50. Okay, you can relax. You know, will I be fit and, you know, healthy enough that I can really enjoy them, type of thing? And what made me think about this is that what that guy said is, what are you and I doing today that is going to get us there? Right. So if you just in terms of physical health, you know, you've maybe noticed this. This is not something that you switch on and off. It's not something when you can decide, okay, when I'm 50, I'm going to be a healthy person. So when I'm 49, I'm just going to make lots of changes, and then, no, we know it doesn't work like that. It's funny, when you start having children, Adam and I are still very new in the thing, only about 2 years into it now. And, we notice with children it works like that. Everything takes time. You can't just decide things are going to work like this and then expect your two-year-old to agree right from the start. So there's a process. And there's an encouragement that has to happen lovingly in different ways to make sure that everybody agrees about what you want to happen in the house. And then it takes time to establish good habits and good routines. Anyways, so that kind of ties in with the whole principle of what are you and I sowing in terms of our relationships? What are we sowing in our relationship with God? What are we sowing in terms of our faith walk and our relationship even with the body of Christ? Okay, let's quickly have a look at... what's the next one here? Galatians chapter 6. You can go one in here. Okay. So let's read from verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we see this principle there, God is not mocked. Okay, so whatever, in whichever area, what we sow, we will reap. Okay, now especially here in this case, he doesn't only speak about finance or resources. He speaks about whether we're sowing to the flesh, and he speaks about carnal, when we're sowing in terms of sinning and towards our carnal nature, as opposed to sowing in the spirit in terms of obedience to God and obedience to his call on our life. And very powerfully there, he says, let's not grow weary of doing good. And when you're when you've had anything to do with any kind of farm or any kind of planting, there is an element of patience. There is an element of, this is not an instant thing. Okay, this is not like I'm going to stick the thing in the ground and tomorrow there's fruit. Okay, and the farmer understands this. So when it's a season for sowing, the farmer doesn't expect to have fruit. Okay, he's expecting, okay, I'm going to sow now, and then there's a process that will happen, and then in due season there will be a reward. And this is what we hear here: do not grow weary or doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So continue to do good, continue to walk in obedience, continue to sow in the spirit rather than the flesh, and continue to do good to all. Now, it's interesting in terms of sowing and reaping. We understand the principle when we talk about, say, farming. Okay, my dad has got this patience. He, when we go on a holiday somewhere, or he will just, wherever he is, if he sees something that looks interesting, or like a plant or a tree, he'll take some of the seeds. It's normally legal, I think. And then he would take that seed, take it home, and it takes a lot of patience. Then he will plant the seed in the right environment, and then he will nurture it in a little, like a little container, and then he will put it into a bigger container, and it'll take years. I'm not talking about like 2 days or a week or a few months. It'll take like tree seeds, and then when the tree is like this big, then he will put it into a bigger container, and then it's crazy. But there's that element of enduring, an element of understanding that there's a process that needs to happen, and there's a faithfulness that is required, and a commitment and an understanding of what must happen for us to get to a certain place. And where was I going with that? So in terms of sowing and reaping, it's often, this is the difficult part, it's often the thing that we need more of. Say, whatever that is in your life. Maybe if this thing that is scarce, for instance, time or some resource, the thing that is scarce or dear to us is often the thing that we're actually supposed to sow so that we can reap a harvest. Does that make sense? So if you have a guy that has, let me just make it really simple, that has just a handful of seed, like grain, for instance, he can either take, or like he's got a little bag for, he can either, grind all of it down into flour and then make some bread and eat it. Or we can use half of it for bread, and then you can say, okay, I've got only this little bit, but if I want more, I need to plant and I need to sow this seed so that I can actually have more next time. Does that make sense? And that's often the difficult part about sowing and reaping, because it's the place where we feel already tight, I don't have time, or I can't afford to invest into this relationship. Why? It's in the time, even if around family and around our relationship with God. It's in those areas often that is the greatest challenge to actually say, okay, Lord, I want to actually sow. I want to sow in this area. I want to be a good steward. I want to sow good seed in this area. Okay. So take encouragement. God is able to give us the grace to have a healthy relationship in terms of sowing and reaping. Okay. Now, in terms of what we're going to focus on tonight specifically, let's just move on to the next one, and we can look at what he says there. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. It just recaps a little bit, and then I'm going to... Sure, it's a lot here. Okay, just stick with me. Okay, hang in there. 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give, this is focusing on giving here, but it also applies to other things. So he says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Let's just pause there for a moment. Amazing how God gives us this promise of when we give and sow in whichever area it is, in a way that is pleasing to God, and in line with His will. Look what He promises here. He says, God is able to make all grace. Okay, so it just again, He's all encompassing. He says, all grace abound toward you, that you have always, not sometimes, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Again, an abundance and for every good work. Not some, every good work. So when we do walk on this confidence, and that's why I just pray earlier, that when we do seek God, and when we do seek to obey Him, and we do seek His purpose in His kingdom, we can have absolute confidence that He will cover the rest. Okay, now John and his family, what a wonderful testimony. We prayed with him, you know, we put out our faith together. John was focusing on he was seeking God. And I really believe, yeah, God has honored them. And even with stuff like our children, things that aren't almost, can't put a money value to it. You know, time with your children, your children's education, or, you know, all the stuff that we worry about, or our future, even stuff like that. When you and I are pursuing God and His kingdom and His purpose in our family, in our relationship, in our workplace, we can have this assurance that for whatever He calls us to do, there will be more than enough. Amen. There will be an abundance and there will be an overflow for every good work. Now, I'm quickly going to read the last bit. There's a lot in there. Just going to pick out one or two things here. Now, may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, just pause there, as you see there, He does not only supply what we need to eat, He supplies seed as well. And that's always often the tricky part, that to recognize, okay, I mustn't eat the seed because it's for sowing, okay? And that applies in terms of time, it applies in terms of relationships, it applies spiritually very much as well. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, we long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So he says, does not only supply the needs of the saints, and he takes it a little bit further than just financial and giving of resources. He takes it a little bit further than that. And this evening, I want us to come to a place where we recognize that the seed that God entrusts to us, and the seed I'm talking about now, is more of a seed of purpose and a seed of a mandate that He gives us. And as we were worshiping on Friday night, Lord gave me a picture which just kind of confirmed this, what that I had on my heart. And that what I saw is Christ coming to each one of us personally and in a very intimate way entrust seed to us, precious seed to us. And it wasn't like a random thing. It was very much a look you in the eye, saying, Ger, Dion, Chris, you know, this is for you. I'm entrusting this to you. There's life in it. There's potential in it. There's you know, there's so much in it that you need to take hold of it. You need to look after it. You need to nurture it, and you need to run with it. And very much a place where it was a very intimate thing, and it reminded me of a testimony I heard. Some of you will have heard it before. A couple of years ago, I heard this guy speak, and he had attended a conference. I think it was a conference for church leaders in Indonesia somewhere, a place where a lot of persecution happens of Christians, of believers. Okay, so what happened? I think I've told the story before, but for those that didn't hear, he at this conference there was somebody that was bringing a testimony. But he was working through an interpreter. But this guy was standing on the stage and he was sharing very passionately. And he was very focused. And the story that he told was this. He said that in one of the raids that were done on believers, the whatever group it was, kind of just came in and started just literally just killing people left and right. And it was horrific, you know, just chopping people with machetes and whatever. It was actually one of those, you can't even think how it can, you know, how this can happen in this day and age, but it still does. So, and there's a lot of people got seriously injured, and this guy actually, he was basically decapitated. It's a bit gross, sorry. He was basically decapitated, and he was basically lying next to the road, and that's where his friends found him, and they basically, as far as I remember the story, prayed for him. Although his head was literally basically all to one side, they actually put it back and prayed for him and took him to hospital. And it was a massive miracle because he recovered. But he gives the testimony that while he was there, he had an encounter with Christ. He actually went to heaven. He actually had this experience of going into heaven. And you know, he describes everything, and it's obviously lines up with Scripture. He describes what he saw, and then he describes Jesus coming to him on horseback as the commander of the armies, in a fearful figure. And Jesus coming to him and looking him in the eye. And he describes it as such a fearful moment when Christ looks him right in the eye, and it was like looks almost straight through you type of thing, but still in love. And he says to him, "What are you doing here?" Basically, he said to him, "You are supposed to be preaching my gospel on the earth." And he says, when he hear this guy speak, firstly he's got this massive thick scar that goes all around, okay, which is a bit weird. But when he shares this, you can see this guy's not confused. What is manly? He's not confused about his job. He's not confused about what his purpose is, because Christ has looked him in the eye. He says, "Listen, you need to go back, because this is what you need to do." And this is kind of the same thing I felt when I saw this picture that God gave me on Friday, that that Christ comes to each one of us and he entrusts this message to us. And he entrusts the seed to us. And it's obvious the basic mandate that we have to make disciples obviously doesn't change. But for each one of us, there's a specific part to play. There's a specific role. And there's a specific seed that God entrusts to each one of us. And this is what I'm trusting for God for tonight, that we could get to grips with that specific thing. And now, what I'm talking about is a place of conviction. Okay, it's a place of coming to a place where when I go into my workplace, or whether I go when I deal with my family at home, or whether I walk down the street in my community, that I have a conviction that this is where I must be now. That this is part of that piece that I am contributing. This is part of my mandate. This is part of where God has placed me right now, right here. And whether it is my marriage or in relationship, in friendship, that we literally live out of a point of conviction, out of a point of this is what God has called me to do. That we don't do like the rest of the world and just kind of drift along with the current and hope for the best, but we literally live out of a point of conviction. Let's quickly go on to the next one. Let's look at this, at the kind of seed, that the kind of thing that God entrusts to us in terms of how it works. In Isaiah chapter 55, 9 to 11, from verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater," again that bit, "so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Very powerful, yeah, that the promise that, and the confidence that when we run with the Word of God for our lives, when we run with the promise that He has entrusted to us, when we run with the mandate that He gives us and the Word that He gives us, we know that Word will not return void. And it's you know, that when I remember when we were trusting to fall pregnant and we were struggling, etc., This is part of the thing that we had to do. We had to take the promises of God. We had to take the word of God that had been spoken, and we had to rely and trust that it will not return void. It will accomplish. And I want to encourage us, when you pray for your workplace, when you pray for your colleagues, when you pray for your family, when you're trusting God to come to understanding of what specifically is the thing that is entrusting to you, that mandate that He's giving you, when you come to grips with that, know that every promise and every word of God that you speak into that situation will accomplish what God has sent it out to do. It will prosper in it. It will not return to God void. Isn't that an amazing promise? And you know, often when we're praying for somebody's salvation, and we're praying for a neighbor, or we're praying for our children, we don't see the result immediately. Again, it's a sowing process. And it's a process that happens over years. That we can have a confidence that His word will not return void, that it will accomplish, it will prosper for what He said to do. So so this seed that God entrusts to us, it's very unique. If you think, okay, the bigger picture, we're making disciples. Okay, we know that. We all have a role to play in that. But that role and that part that each of us plays in God's design and His purpose, I believe that is very unique, and that is to do with your what God has put in you, with the giftings that He's blessed you and I with. There's so many things that God has invested and imparted in our lives for that specific purpose and that specific plan. But what is challenging is that it's still a choice, and you know, I don't know if you like building puzzles. My wife loves it. on holiday, especially when my mom's around, we do puzzles. Okay, I'm not so keen. But somehow when they get going, I get sucked into it. It's like, I don't know. And then I have to finish it. You know? It's terrible. But have you ever had it that there's just like one piece missing? Sorry, it's terrible, man. Isn't that? For some, it's really bad. When I was little, I used to hide one piece, and then so I wanted to be the one to put it in. Any case, but if we look at the bigger picture of God's plan, although each of us have a unique part we fit in, it's not like. The challenge is, and there was this thing in the church where we felt for a while that I'm indispensable, God can't do without me, but that's not the truth. Okay, the truth is, if you and I choose not to walk in that plan, not to take a hold of that seed, not to take a hold of that mandate, guess what? His will will still happen. His kingdom will still come, and His will and His purposes will still come to pass. But you and I will not have a part in that. So there's a place where you and I have an opportunity and an amazing privilege to partner with Christ, to partner with Him in His purpose. But if we choose otherwise, He will find somebody else to do the job. Amen? That's the challenging bit. But yet He invites us. He invites us to be co-workers. He invites us. The invitation is there. And He entrusts something very precious to us. Let's quickly look at next one here at 1 Peter chapter 1 from 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now again, the seed that He entrusts to us, the seed of the word of God, the seed of the gospel, it is incorruptible seed. It's not like other seed that has an expiry date and it kind of dies after, but it's incorruptible seed. And I want to encourage you this. Often when I pray for people's salvation, I have such a sense that God has already put seeds into this person's life. And I can pray for those that they would still bear fruit because they're incorruptible. So there's a confidence that when you and I to grab a hold of what God has entrusted to us, we know. Is when I follow Him and I follow and I seek His kingdom and I seek His will, there's indestructible life in it. When Christ is in it, there's life in it, and there will be fruit that will lead to eternal life. Amen. So this evening, like I was saying, what I want to encourage with us, and that's what ties in with what Pastor Fred was sharing on Tuesday, and we're going to work around it in small groups at some stage, is for each of us to come to a place of conviction about where I'm working, conviction about the relationships that I'm in, conviction about the community that I live in, conviction about where God has placed me. Okay, you know, we love to quote from the life of Esther. Saying, you know, you have been called for such a time as this. But it's real. It's true. There's a reason why John and his family are in the UK. There's a purpose for them here. There are souls to be saved here. There's a reason why we come from different countries. And if we're just looking here now, we're representing quite a couple of nations. It's quite cool, actually. But there's a reason why you and I are here. And the reason is that there's something that God entrusts to us for this season. And what we're going to work through in the small groups, we're going to come to a place where when you have a conviction of it, and I just spoke to somebody this morning, they've got a new job, so I said, well, let's pray together, let's anoint you in small group, Let's send you out. Let's commission you to go and to do what you need to do in that workplace. And whether it is at a company or whether it is whether you at home with the children, that's one of the most important jobs you can have. But let there be a conviction that this is a purpose, this is a plan, this is what God is entrusting to me for now. I want to run with it. I want to walk in the fullness of His provision. I want to be commissioned to see His kingdom come in it. Are you with me this evening? So we're going to work through that a little bit in the small groups. But there are two things I want us to pray through as we close tonight. Is firstly, for us to have an urgency to come to an understanding of what is it that God is entrusting to me. Why am I in the community that I'm in? Why am I in the country that I'm in? Why am I in the relations that I'm in? In the relationships that I'm in? And to not just go down river, but to live out of a place of conviction of His will and of His purpose. Let's close with Luke chapter 10. And this is what I was reminded of when I had this picture on Friday. Verse 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Let's stand this evening. I want us to pray through some specific things. Now, firstly, that conviction I was talking about. But secondly, the seed of the gospel that we have received. The seed of the message that we have received. And when I'm talking about my Lord, like I said, I didn't really expect it. But I was thinking about it. I didn't really expect much to happen. I don't know why. But when I was thinking about it afterwards, I realized that what made it work is the timing. So that there was a lot of rain, and then the one morning early, I realized I must do it now. The soil is soft, there's a lot of moisture. If I do it now, it should work. And when we are ministering to people, and when we are praying for people, and the heart, somebody's heart is ready, that ready soil, it's got a certain time frame of opportunity, I believe, where they are very receptive to the word and really receptive to God. But that it's like that with the harvest as well. When the harvest is ready, you can't leave it on the field too long; it'll rot. Okay. So when we are sowing, and even when we are bringing in the harvest, there's a time frame of opportunity that we need to have. We need to take hold of. And I want to encourage us. It's not like when you miss it, because I know there are some people that I've been reaching out to where I know there was a time frame. And I don't know, there's certain factors that happened. This one guy I was specifically walking with, there was another lady came into his life. I'm not saying it's terrible, but in his situation, that was not good time. And whatever God was doing there, took a massive blow because suddenly the soil wasn't the time frame that passed. And now it's not like he's beyond salvation. It's just hard work now. I need to put lots of prayer. Trust God to work that soil again. Trust God for two people to get saved, which is great. But so often we have this. Maybe you know you've been reaching out to somebody and you know, wow, there was a window there that I missed. Don't get into despair, but know that you're going to have to trust God. You have to pray. But then on the other hand, if you know, like there's another guy that I met now that through Erna's mom's group, we just went for a cycle on Saturday. Nothing deep or spiritual, but there is an opportunity there. He's open for relationship. It's just that his first baby, you know. So there's a similar season, and I know there's a time frame now, and I need to take that opportunity now. So I want to really encourage us. There's grace for us. Even when we miss it, but there's grace for us to take the opportunity, to take the time frame. When we see the soil is ready, when we see the harvest is ripe, to go for it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, firstly, that you are faithful, God. And what we sow, we will also reap, Lord. And I thank you for so many that have sown into our lives, God. And I thank you for many of us here, many here that have sown into others' lives, God. And I thank you for good fruit. And I thank you for fruit that will bring glory to your name. And may this evening, Lord, we trust, Lord, that each of us here, Lord, will live out of a place of conviction of what you are entrusting to us. What is this precious seed that you've put in our hands? What is the mandate that you're entrusting to us? What is the mission that you have for each one of us? The part that we play in your bigger purpose, Lord, in your bigger plan. And I thank you for each of us, Lord, as we go to our workplace, Lord, as we go to our families, as we go to our community, Lord, where we live, God. I pray that you would open our eyes, Lord, to see that you've prepared for us, the good works, Lord. Oh God, and I thank you for an urgency in our hearts, Lord, to recognize, Lord, that yeah, you've not called us just to survive. You've not called us to just make it or just to run, to flow downstream with the current, Lord. But you've called us with a purpose, Lord. You've called us from darkness into light, and you've given us a mandate. You've given us a specific purpose, God. And I pray for each person here in the communities and in the families we represent, Lord. And we pray for a conviction of your word and a conviction of your purpose and a conviction of your mandate for us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and where there's confusion, we pray that you'd bring order, Father. Where there's deception, we pray that you'd bring the truth, God, in Jesus' name. Where there's double-mindedness or procrastination, God, we pray that you bring urgency, Lord, and a clarity around your will, Father, and obedience to your will, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we thank you for each of us here, Lord. We thank you for the people that you've put around us. We thank you for hearts that are ready to receive your word. Some still need a lot of prayer, Lord, and we'll continue to pray, and we help you also to give us perseverance in prayer. But I pray that you'd help us to recognize the hearts that are ready, Lord, the time frame of opportunity. And I thank you for a boldness, God, to invest into those relationships, Lord, to love people. Freely we have received, Lord, your unconditional love, and I thank you that we can freely love in the same way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that even this week, Lord, that you open our eyes, that you show us, Lord, and we walk in the fullness of your purpose and the fullness of your plan. Let your kingdom come in and through us this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.